Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Patriots Week continues in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We're looking forward to Sunday. Pre-game starting at 9 o'clock here on ESPN Rochester. You'll be able to hear Sal Capaccio on the sidelines during the game. He's joining us now in the Sports Bar. Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, guys. Great to talk to you, as always. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Sal, 3-0 against 3-0, and I think Bills fans have to be excited, at least by the prospects, that maybe you get Devin Singletary back. I know you can't watch all of practice out there. You're only allowed to watch a certain portion, but from what you could tell, how did Devin Singletary look today?
Well, I mean, he was participating with the rest of his running back teammates, and he seemed like he wasn't out of place, so that's good. He was officially listed as limited after practice. But I think it's a very, very positive sign that he was out there with his helmet on, his shoulder pads on, and going through running back drills with everybody else on a Wednesday. On a Thursday. Today was a big day because he missed yesterday's practice. So for him to be out there in that capacity, I think is a very positive sign.
And Sal, if he's upgraded to a full participant tomorrow, fairly safe to assume he'll be a go for Sunday?
Oh, I think so. I think once you're full on Friday, but even if he's limited tomorrow, I think it's really positive that he was in his role today. But we'll see. I mean, there's always a possibility they could hold him out for another week. But I think that once you get to here and he looked like he was doing everything it needed to be doing from what I could watch, I think that's a really good sign.
Any idea what happened with, I know the groin for Foster, but McKenzie showing up or not practicing at all today? Is this something that happened yesterday, Sal?
I guess it would have to be. I think he was out there yesterday, so we saw him. He was there. He was out on the field. He just wasn't working. He's working off to the side, I think, with trainers a little bit. That's always good. It wasn't like he was missing. For example, right now Tyler Kroft isn't even out there. He has the ankle injury, and I think when a guy isn't even out there and you don't see him at all, I think that's a little bit more of a red flag that it's a little more serious. With Isaiah McKenzie, he was out there walking around with trainers. And it seemed like to me that at least, there was something going on there, and we didn't know until afterwards that we found it was the ankle. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes tomorrow, and hopefully he'll be okay for the game. He's got a few days here.
Sal, we're looking ahead to Sunday. We know what New England is. We know what New England has done. I think there are probably some Bills fans that are optimistic of the Bills' chances to be able to upset New England on Sunday. I think there are a lot of Bills fans that are looking at this more based on history, and that New England has just absolutely owned Buffalo for the better part of the last two decades. What is going to be a key for Buffalo if they have any chance against New England on Sunday?
Well, I think offensively, I imagine Bill Belichick is going to, quote-unquote, make Josh Allen a passer, right? Make him beat him from the pocket. Last year, if you go back and look at how they played him, remember, Josh didn't play in the Monday night game.
Right.
The only time he played was Week 16 at New England, and that was actually his lowest rushing total since he came back from his injury. His second lowest. The week before that, he only had 19 yards. Detroit did a nice job on him, but he had been really 90 yards, 100 yards, in the few games that he played. And then he plays against Bill Belichick, and he was kept in the pocket. I do know this. It was the fewest number of attempts. If I go back, I have it right here now. 5 rushing to the attempts for 30 yards. And all the other games he played when he came back, guys, at least 9. So what does that tell you? That means that they concentrated on not letting him beat them by escaping the pocket. So I think that's the key, is Josh Allen winning from the pocket. And look, against the Jets this year in week number 1, Jets defenders said the key to beating the Bills is make Josh Allen be a passer, make him a quarterback, so to speak. He was up to the task. He did a good job. Now, he had a turnover. He didn't score any points. There were 2 turnovers in the first half, but I thought he played well from the pocket. I thought he passed well, especially early in the game. And I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for him, and I don't rule it out that he can make plays from the pocket against New England, but I certainly think Bill Belichick is going to force him to do it.
Sal, certainly another key would be, I would say, coming out of the half here. What's your theory about why the Bills have been flat in these games? The Giant game let them back in. We know what happened Sunday against the Bengals. Coming out of the half here, what's been said about that? How can you improve on that? What's been said this week in the locker room?
Well, there's really no rhyme or reason. Obviously, everybody's just working on trying to get it right. I mean, that's what you hear. You know, they have to figure out making their adjustments and things like that. And I think that when fans see that, they think immediately, well, they're not making good enough adjustments. And that's fine. I mean, that's fair. But I think that it goes beyond that, which is, you know, they are making adjustments. But so is the other team. I think you have to anticipate what the other team is going to do, too. What adjustments are the Bengals going to make? What adjustments are the Giants going to make? What adjustments now are the Patriots going to make at halftime? And you have to be ready for all of that. And I'm not quite sure if the Bills are fully formed yet enough on offense to counter everything that a defense does against them. But I'll say this. I think part of it might have been last week. Guys, you know, you have to remember, this is still a young football team. These are young athletes out there. They jumped out to a 2-score lead. They have the game totally in control at halftime. They just came off at a very, very emotional start of the game. All of the stuff that goes along with, you know, the opening game, your home opener, you're 2-0, you're looking to go 3-0, you're jacked up, the adrenaline's rushing. You go to halftime like that, to me, I think it's human nature to have a little bit of the edge taken off when you come out of the locker room. And you're facing a veteran team like Cincinnati. They know that they're one play away from being in this game. They just keep playing. And I think that might have been what happened last week.
Sal, the loss of Harrison Phillips, I mean, great guy, big contributor so far this year. What does it mean for the Bills, and is Kyle Pecco the man that can step up into that role?
Well, he's certainly the man that's going to be on the roster as far as active and, you know, being the fourth defensive tackle. I wonder if they shorten the rotation a little bit, though, and Jordan Phillips sees a little more time, and Star Lotulelei sees more snaps, because Harrison Phillips was cutting into Star Lotulelei's snap. Mm-hmm. He was now overtaking him, essentially, but I think Star has to be on the field and play, you know, to the best of that he can for as many snaps as he can and step up a little bit. You know, if that's the case, if he's been cutting in, there's got to be a reason. So need a little bit more from him. And then Jordan Phillips, to me, is probably going to play a little bit more. I don't know. I'm sure Kyle Pecco's going to play. They rotate their defensive tackles. He's a shorter guy. He's a little bit more built like a Harrison Phillips, you know, than he is a Star or a Jordan Phillips. That helps with his pad level, his run-stopping ability. But I do think there's a drop-off between the two. There's a reason he didn't make the team. And Harrison Phillips was playing very, very good football. But I do wonder about, you know, the snap counts. It's going to be interesting to see. And I'm assuming right now, and I'm guessing, guys, that we're going to see a little bit more of the other three playing more snaps than they have.
I'm so curious to see Ed Oliver. And is it cliche to say the way to get the Tom Brady is up the middle? Sal, is that the number one key, would you say, when you're looking at this Bills defense this week?
Yeah, I think so. It's always been kind of one of the things that you point to, which is get him off his spot, right? I mean, he's so good from the pocket. Make a move left and right. Now, that thing, he obviously can throw on the run. He can move left and throw. He manipulates the pocket so well. He just shuffles here. He shuffles there. But I think if you take away those passing lanes, and look, one of the things the Bills have been very, very good at this year is the batting balls down. I think that they may be number one in the NFL. They have 10 of them or something like that. They had 7 going into last week, and they had a few more last week. So that's one of the things, too. You know, get your hands up. Put that pressure up the middle and then, you know, get some hands on balls, bat some balls, take away his throwing lanes. Julian Edelman, he's such a weapon for him. He loves finding him on those very short routes. Well, you know, get a little pressure up the middle, get your hands up. Don't let him see Edelman as quick as he needs to see him. So I think that Ed Oliver is definitely someone that can play into that. And it's kind of funny when you think about it, guys. Ed Oliver was born in 1997. He was 3 years old when Tom Brady was drafted. Wow. And he was 4 years old when they won their first Super Bowl.
That's unbelievable. Sal Capaccio, WGR, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, sideline reporter, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Sal, I looked at this game, and we said this before the season started. Like, if you want to really, truly judge the job that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done as you know, head coach and GM of this team, this is the year that it's fair to do that, because this is the team that they have constructed. They've moved on from almost all of the Rex guys. These are the guys that they believe can, you know, deliver a championship for this organization. You're playing the Patriots, and everybody knows that you're going to have to beat the Patriots at some point to get to where you want to go. This game is important for Bean. It's important for McDermott. It's important for the organization. This is a true measuring stick, is it not?
It is, but, you know, let's put the game into perspective. It is week number 4, right? And we've seen in Buffalo. Seasons start off really well and then go south when they were 5-2 a couple of different times, you know, over the last, what, 10, 11 years or so, 08, 2011. We've also seen the New England Patriots, like last year, start out 1-2. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, they're who they are and they win the Super Bowl. And it is a very, very big measuring stick. I agree with that. I also don't think it should be any sort of defining their season at all, if that makes sense, right? This should not be something that if they go out there and lose very badly, the season is not over. They have 12 more games left, and anything can happen. If they go out there and beat the Patriots, they haven't won the Super Bowl yet. There's a lot of season left to play, and they have to keep playing. So from that regard, I just caution people against, you know, thinking there's so much about this game that rides on this season or the identity even of this team. This is a team that's still growing, and it is very young. But, yeah, I mean, they're the Super Bowl champions. And regardless of six Super Bowls, regardless of 20 years of domination over the Bills, regardless of Tom Brady winning here more than any other quarterbacks won in any other road stadium in NFL history, the guys on this team, they haven't been here for all that, guys. I mean, Cole Beasley was asked about that yesterday. His answer was, I wasn't here, I don't care. And then Ed Oliver was asked, and he said, I don't know about any of that. All I know is they're a really good football team, and I have to prepare to play a game against them. And I think that's the perspective for this group to have, which is, yeah, it's a measuring stick, but it's not the measuring stick of Buffalo and New England. We're going against a Super Bowl champ, and we have a tough game, and this is going to be a really, really big game for us to, you know, compete on that level.
It's funny you said that because Jerry Hughes in the locker room Sunday, almost kind of the same thing, like, yeah, this is another divisional game, and we'll get ready for it. Is there a conscious effort to play this down? I mean, and if so, I would credit McDermott on this because, yeah, you don't need overhype. Look, we can overhype this as media and fans, and it would mean a lot, Sal. And you talk about things since 2011. This team hasn't beaten the Patriots here in Buffalo. But for the Bills there, that's really the sense you're getting is that it's more along the lines of this is a divisional game, not the whole history of this whole series.
That's right. And yes, I do think it's conscious, and I do think it's from Sean McDermott. And I think there's two things on that. I think number one is this is just how he's approached treating this team and the culture he's built and the process he's implemented, to use his word, which is, every day is consistent. Every day is the same. We never change who we are. We never change our standard. Doesn't matter how high we get. Doesn't matter how low we get. We show up to practice every day. We do everything the exact same way all the time. It doesn't matter who our opponent is. Whether they're 3-0 and the New England Patriots or the 0-3 tanking Miami Dolphins, we're going to prepare every day the same. And I think that's number one and where that comes from. But the other part of it is, and I think this is interesting too, that I was thinking about this. I think what Sean McDermott is doing is setting his team up mentally to be prepared and want to be, hey, we should be the team. We're not in awe of anybody. Like we want to set the gold standard around here. We want to be the team that everybody's chasing. We're not going to tell you, oh yeah, it's the big bad Patriots, because I think you do that, you start chasing ghosts, guys. You know what I mean? You start tightening up. You start doing things you might be out of character because of everything that they're in your head about. I think you want to get to a point where the Patriots are the ones thinking about chasing you. And that has to, and I think to Sean McDermott, that's probably got to start with some sort of mindset.
We know that the players and the coaches aren't going to look ahead on the schedule. They're not going to talk about what lies ahead for this team after this weekend. But, you know, even if they were to lose, and Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders put this out earlier in the week, that there are only six teams in the AFC with a winning record. Buffalo, right now at 3-0, has a two-game lead on any other wild card contenders other than whoever would finish second in the AFC South. So if you want that AFC playoff spot and you're 1-2 right now, you'd have to win at least two more games than a Buffalo team that, looking ahead, still has two games against Miami, plus home games against the Jets, Denver, and Washington. Sal, a loss here, if you just look at the schedule, you're right. It doesn't kill your season. You got a lot of football left to play.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying before. Let's not make this week a referendum on the season. It would be great to beat them. Everybody wants to see that. I think it would be super exciting around here. It would make our jobs a lot more fun. But it's not the end-all be-all, man. It's week number four. It's still September. And there's a lot of football left to play. But you're right about that schedule. I mean, guys, look around. Do a segment on it if you want. Talk about, go through every team in the AFC and say, Better than the Bills, yes or no? Better than the Bills, yes or no? Go through every team and say, can they finish ahead of the Bills in the standings? And I'm telling you, almost always you're going to get to, wow, like, I kind of expect this team now to be a wild card team short of injuries befalling them. Because that's who that's what they have. I mean, look, where is Pittsburgh right now? Cleveland is not what everybody expected them right. to be. You know there's a gold standard in Kansas City that's being set with the way they're running offense and things like that. Baltimore looks very, very good. They'll probably win that division, though. It's not even going to be a wild card team. There's a few teams in there in the mix, but you're right, man. This schedule, A, it already had set up for the Bills anyway because of the teams they're playing. But now because of the quarterback situations like Roethlisberger, and then even in Indianapolis, even though they don't play the Colts, you get my point, with Brissett, it even sets up even more about what the AFC looks like.
Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines, which will be a crazy atmosphere. We'll have the pregame 9 a.m. with the kickoff 1 o'clock. Our guest here, WGR, Sal Capaccio. Sal, I don't know how much you've dove into the Patriots here, but this Patriot defense they're going up against. The defense itself has not allowed a touchdown this season. If you go back to last year's Super Bowl, that's 4 straight games. I mean, how would you go about going against this Patriot defense? Because certainly that's pretty good.
Well, I think that this is a game where the Bills might want to try and unleash John Brown if they can. You know, try and get that one big play. Because I think that that's, it's kind of how they've built their offense, and we haven't seen it yet, which is having the ability to strike. But I think that's how you might have to beat a team like the Patriots, which aren't going to give you those long drives. They're going to make you work and earn for everything you get. And by the time you earn for it, the time you've worked for it, you have a turnover, you have something really go wrong, you have to settle for a field goal. But it only takes one play, guys, to go over the top. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bills attempt that and say, okay, it'll take, all we need is one play to do this. We don't have to go 12 plays, 75 yards. We can go one play in 70 yards, and let's see what happens. And that might be the key to unlocking it. And then if you do that, suddenly, maybe other things start to open up because they have to respect that.
Yeah. Sal, I would love to see Brian Daboll dial up something deep early and utilize the speed that John Brown has. And since we're talking about what the offense could possibly do against this Patriots defense, just really quick on Brian Daboll, because I thought this was worth mentioning. I mean, I thought the way he managed Josh Allen last week's game against Cincinnati really kind of shows that this guy he's evolved as a coach. He's gotten a lot better from year one to year two as the offensive coordinator, not just in terms of play calling, but just in the way he's developed relationships with his players. And one minute he's telling Josh Allen about expectation on the sideline, and you're right there. The next minute you see him giving big hugs at the end of the game and telling him what a great job he did. I mean, really doing a good job managing the talent on that offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, these guys really love Brian Daboll. They do. They talk very highly of him. They respect him. And that's the thing. They respect the way he treats them, is what you say. He treats them like professionals with respect. And, you know, Sean McDermott has said since the time he got here, one of the things that he does, and he's preached to his coaching staff, is we celebrate, you know, the good way. We celebrate good things, something like good plays or something like that. We celebrate positives, you know. And I've been around people, and you guys know I coach. I've been around people who, they're just always miserable. And even when you do something well, they're going to tell you everything you did wrong. You know what I mean? You've probably been around people like that in your life. And nobody wants to be around people like that because I think it just kind of brings you down at the end. And that's not who Brian Daboll is. He'll let you know when you're doing something wrong. He'll make it clear. When you do something right, he's going to let you know that too. And that's part of coaching. That's part of relationship building. That's part of teaching. And I think that's part of trust when it comes from the other side.
Sal, I like having you on because you do have that background as a coach, and we talked about earlier in the week how coaching is sometimes like parenting, and when yep. when you have Josh Allen get up on the podium and he's asked about that throw, I know I can't do that, and when he thrown across his body, I know I can't do it. It's like parenting. Like my 13-year-old, I tell him constantly, use a napkin. Do not wipe your hands in your shorts. What are you doing? And I know, Dad, I'm sorry, I forgot. So when it comes to Josh Allen and the decisions, from the coach's perspective, Sal, how do you get that through?
I don't know, man. It's hard. It really is. I don't know if they can. All they can do is keep telling him. All they can do is keep repping it. But at the same time, they have to understand, I'm sure they do, that they're dealing with a bit of a different animal here, which is a guy that he's always looking to make a play. He's super, super competitive, and I know they don't want to take that away from him, right? Yeah. And you don't want to reduce his ability to make big plays by also reducing his ability to make horrible plays. And I know it sounds so much easier to everybody. It's not, because you're just dealing with a guy who, when he's out there, he may say to you, how many basically said, I can't do that. But then at the end of the day, he still makes that horrible throw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's a guy that played at a Hall of Fame level for many, many years, obviously.
Sal, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you carving out some time. Know how busy you are during Patriots Week. Look forward to the call on Sunday. Enjoy your weekend.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio, WGR, Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Oh, does that get you ready?
Yeah.
I want kickoff now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be up at like 6 a.m. I'm not going to sleep Saturday
night. Listen, Sal, you know, brings up a good point. I mean, like, if it goes badly, even if it's a loss, but it's not, it's a close loss. Like, you know, if it goes like I'm predicting, like a 2017 loss, it doesn't mean that the season is over. It just means you lost to the Patriots. You know where you stand. You know where you're at, and you're 3-1.
And you get Tennessee, a bye, Miami, 2 weeks after that, Washington. Yeah, you have opportunities to plow up wins. Now, it'll affect the fan base. It'll affect the national perspective. Hey, it's the same old Bills.
Still can't get over.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting how he said that it's about that even keel, how everything needs to be the same. If you're Sean McDermott, you got to keep everything along the same line. Cole Beasley's answer, that's perfect when you're asked about this series. I wasn't here. Jerry Hughes, when he spoke on Sunday, talking to him. Yeah, it's an important divisional game. Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody say that's downplaying it, but he's correct, but he's not going to be like, this is the be-all, end-all. It's freaking week four.
Yeah. Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, a lot of stories to get to, including Melvin Gordon, who is back. When will he come back? Jalen Ramsey. Yet another twist to the story of Jalen Ramsey. Also stories from the Giants and more. And the NFL, a big partnership here in Daily Fantasy.
All right, that's all on the way next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.